because I was very concerned at the time that we were launching into a new huge development of a natural resource in the Treasure State, and I didn't think that we had the tax situation set up properly, so I was concerned that we did that before we really got deeply involved. Other people were working on the environmental issues regarding coal development, some of the issues regarding eminent domain and some of the other questions that, involved coal. I worked on the tax.
Pretty prescient thinking.
Well, I was concerned that Montana is the treasure state, that we had valuable resources, which is why they call us the treasure state, the richest hill on earth, obviously the gold and silver, but more importantly the copper that came out of Butte. And it concerns me because after all of that is virtually gone, what do we have to show for it? Very little. We have very little saved for future generations, other than a great big hole in the ground that is the largest Superfund site in the country. It seemed to me like we needed a better handle on our affairs than that, and I think people agreed with me, and that's why we passed a 30% coal tax and set aside one half of that for the trust in the Constitutional Coal Tax Trust, and we now can look our future generations in the eye and say we didn't squander your natural resources.
In the long run, are you satisfied with the final product that came out of all that work?
Well, yes. As soon as I lost the election, they rolled it back to 15% instead of 30%. I think that was a mistake, and someday it should be rectified, but I probably won't in the near future. The other thing, of course, is now that we have a huge push for oil, we have the same kind of issues, and we ought to do the same thing. And I'm very concerned that that hasn't been addressed at this point.
Do you see any inroads, anybody talking about doing just that?
Well, yes, we had. Tom Jacobson, a representative from Great Falls, introduced a bill that would be very similar to the trust fund that we set up for coal. He would have set it up for oil, and it maybe wasn't quite as much the same amount, but it was pretty good anyway. I came up and testified for it, but it didn't pass. And maybe another session, there might be some more interest in that. At the same time, we addressed coal impacts in our coal tax. That was a very major portion of the coal tax question, is to make sure that the communities who suffered impacts, particularly those where there's a delay in the amount of revenue that they collect simply because the property tax isn't levied right away and it takes a while, so they may have to have a school that takes care of a lot more kids, and it may be 2 or 3 years before they actually get the full benefit of the mill levy that would then be levied against some of the extra property that would result from the coal development. So there's a delay, and there are some entities, governmental entities, that don't get any benefit at all or very little benefit from the development of coal. That took place again up in the Bakken, up on eastern Montana near Sydney, where the local governments tended to get some money because of the oil revenue, but the cities and towns got almost nothing. And yet the cities and towns suffered a great deal of the impact. Those impacts were all taken care of in coal with the coal board. And the system that we set up, so a percentage of the coal tax pie, as we call it, that's the portion that doesn't go into the trust, went into an impact fund. And that impact fund was available for all the governments to apply for impacts.
Yeah, when we talk about these impacts, typically they range from what to what?
Very often it's roads. Sometimes it's school buildings. Sometimes it's other things that are less obvious, like extra need for law enforcement employees, extra need for health matters, things that are impacted because of, in the case of coal, the coal development. It's not only the increase in population as a result of the initial coal development, but also the decrease that comes when the coal development grinds down and phases out. So there's both the increase in population and the decrease in population caused by coal development that can be addressed by the coal board in their grants.
And not to mention impacts as mundane as long trains going through crossings in some communities as well. It's something of an inconvenience, yeah?
That would definitely be an impact. If, in fact, the number of coal trains was so great that it requires attention to the rail crossings, that obviously is an impact. The coal companies are hesitant to put in funds. The railroad is hesitant to put in funds. The highway department is hesitant to put in funds. Cities are hesitant to put in funds because of the huge cost of doing something like that. And so they all just kind of say no. Well, I think in this case, the coal board is uniquely set up to handle that because they can simply say to someone, look, you go get all these other parties to participate to some extent, and then we'll give you a grant. So we don't have enough money. At this point, the appropriations from the 2.9% of the coal tax pie is not sufficient to justify a very large grant, but it will allow for some. And we can say, you get everybody else on board, and then we will give you some grant money to finish the project.
How do you respond to critics, people like State Senator Essman, who say the board favors requests from smaller communities?
Well, I've heard that criticism before I became a member of the board. I think that might have been one of the reasons they appointed me from Billings to the board. I doubt if that's going to be a concern. I haven't seen it while I've been on the board. But I'll have to admit we haven't had any requests from larger cities. And yes, the coal board primarily grants funds to the traditional coal areas like Coal Strip, the Rosebud County, the Bighorn County, and now Roundup. So because those are the areas where most of the coal is mined in Montana.
Let's say that a larger community, a Billings or a Helena, really makes a convincing and unified argument and presentation. They say these trains are really slowing us down in our communities. What's it cost to create just a simple no-frills, I don't know what the solution would be, an overpass or an underpass? That's got to be, I would assume, very expensive, and it's going to take more than just a unified, solid argument, yeah?
That's more than any one of the various sources of revenue can handle. Yes, I think that's correct. I don't know for sure. I'm not familiar myself, but I've heard the numbers bandied around that it might cost up to $20 million to put in an underpass or an overpass. Overpasses may not be quite so expensive. Moving the tracks out of the center of Billings into another location, for instance, would probably be a better solution. My guess is that would cost even more. We, the coal board, gets something like $3 million a year, $3.2 million a year from the coal natural resource account. That's not enough to take care of that kind of an expenditure. And, you know, it's just not possible. But we could make a seed grant, a grant to help do the preliminary study of what kind of a structure should be built or what should be done. And then we could give a grant that would be conditioned on their getting the railroad to contribute, the coal companies to contribute, the city to contribute, the Department of Transportation and the state of Montana to contribute and get a little bit from everybody so that it could be possible. That should be doable.
Mm. So, in other words, come to the board with your ducks in a row.
That's right.
Last question. How well prepared is Montana to deal with this ongoing and the future oil and gas boom?
I think we've set that up very nicely for the coal. And I think the Coal Board does its job very well, and it's on a grant basis. Independent people who have no axe to grind, who are not necessarily a part of any of the applicants, so that they can make an independent decision on who has the most compelling case for an impact. Yes, I think that's set up very nicely. Oil, I think, is very deficient. We do not have the mechanism set up at this time. I think we need something like the same thing we have for the Coal Board for oil, whether it could be joined in with the Coal Board and make it the Coal and Oil Board, like I proposed, or whether it needs to be a separate entity, or even if it's done by the Department of Commerce, that would probably work as well. But something, I think, needs to be set up.
I've been speaking with Billings attorney and Montana Coal Board member Tom Tao. Thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, you bet.